Good morning and welcome to our weekly radio teleconference for July 20th. This week in the Senate, we are continuing the battle over fiscal policy. The context of that battle is a proposal to extend the unemployment benefits again in the U.S. Senate. But the real issue is not whether to extend the unemployment benefits. Rather, it is the question of whether the price for extending them, which is $34 billion, should be just piled yet again onto the national debt, or whether we should do the same thing that other businesses and families across America are having to do in their budgets, and that is find some way to tighten our belts and fit this cost into the federal spending. As I said, this is a $34 billion cost this time. We have extended the unemployment benefits now from the basic 26 weeks up to 99 weeks, and now we are extending again the deadline for authorizing that 99-week unemployment benefit. But the real issue is whether Congress will continue its spending freefall or whether it will start finally on this bill or at some point to recognize that we have a fiscal crisis and we can't just continue to pile new spending onto the national debt. I expect that today the majority will, after about a 3 or 4 week battle, finally come up with the votes, because they are going to appoint and swear in a new senator from West Virginia to replace Senator Byrd, who passed away. And with this new vote, they will probably have the votes necessary to be able to pass the unemployment extension, but to do so without offsetting it in the budget. And I personally will oppose that. The Republicans have come forward with an unemployment extension proposal that does offset and that does not add to the national debt, but does extend the unemployment benefits. And I think that the vast majority of Americans recognize that that is the kind of fiscal policy Congress should start following. So again, the fight today is really not over whether to extend unemployment benefits. It's whether to do so in a way that adds $34 billion to the national debt, or whether to offset that debt, as is in the Republican proposal. With that, let me stop and throw it open for questions. And first on the list today is Leslie. Leslie Shoemate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just read that Newt Gingrich has called the president a teenager with a credit card. Does this mean he's running for president? Have you heard?
Well, you know, that kind of rhetoric certainly raises the question as to whether whether someone who's coming out that way is running for president. I have not heard. Obviously, his name has been bandied about for years as a potential presidential nominee or candidate, and I would not be surprised to see him throw his hat in the ring at some point, but I have not heard anything in the last week or two that is definitive about whether he is intending to run for president.
Can you tell me what the status is on the secure rural schools payments? I know that you sent a letter encouraging those payments to be made to counties containing a large amount of federal land. What's the status?
Well, as you know, the Secure Rural Schools authorization has been successfully accomplished, I think, through next year. We will begin trying to make that a permanent authorization, or at least extending its authorization as soon as possible. As a matter of fact, we've been working on that already for the last couple of years. But you're correct. The administration has been a little bit slow in authorizing the payments and making the payments to the counties for this program, and that puts a real financial burden on the counties. Just to remind listeners, the Secure Rural Schools Act is a federal program that actually was initiated by Senator Larry Craig and Senator Ron Wyden to help address the loss of revenue to the counties from the reduction in timber activity on our national forest lands. And the reason that the federal government makes payments to the counties in these contexts is because by owning so much of the land and exempting itself from property taxes, the federal government makes the counties in which there is a very high level of federal land ownership very weak in terms of having a weaker property tax base on which the county can then operate its obligations, and recognizing the fact that the ownership and management of federal land in a county is a burden to the local county residents, the federal government has indicated that it would pay a fee, in my mind, is sort of a replacement or a substitution for its obligation for property taxes from which the government has exempted itself. And a group of senators and I have encouraged the government to be more prompt in making those payments that are obligated, and they are starting to move forward in making those payments.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next on the list is Rory.
Hey, good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Rory.
Well, I wanted to know if you might tell us why you like the Hydropower Improvement Act.
Well, this is, a very important step forward in the proper kind of energy policy that our country ought to be pursuing. We are far too dependent on petroleum, and we are far too dependent on foreign sources of petroleum in our national energy policy. And as with any kind of a portfolio, we need to expand our energy portfolio and diversify it. And one of the areas where we should do that is in hydropower. I've noticed over the years that there's been some debate over whether we should have more hydropower in the country or not, and there's a lot of discussion about that across the country. But the point in this legislation that we've introduced is that there are a tremendous number of facilities in the country, existing dams and other facilities, on which we are not producing hydropower but could. And the estimates are that this legislation could create over 1.4 million jobs in the next 15 years. And just to give you a few more statistics, about 7% of our nation's current energy needs are met right now through hydropower. And that avoids 225 million metric tons of carbon emissions every year. But only 3% of our country's dams are electrified. And what that means is that if we just went to our existing facilities and upgraded them so that they were generating electricity, then we could add all of this new production and dramatically increase the available power without the construction of any new dams. And so I believe that this is important legislation to help us expand and diversify in our national energy policy.
And it enjoys some bipartisan support, so you think it has a good chance?
It should have a good chance. As you indicated, we do have bipartisan support. Senator Lisa Murkowski, a Republican, and I, as a Republican, are some of the major co-sponsors. And I know Senator Risch is also one of the co-sponsors. And on the Democrat side, we have Senator Patty Murray and Senator Maria Cantwell, who are supportive of it. And so in areas like the Pacific Northwest, where we know hydropower, we are getting broad bipartisan support, and I hope that that will be able to be expanded throughout the rest of the Congress as we move forward in developing our national energy strategy.
So it's on the agenda, it sounds like.
It is. Yes, definitely.
Very good, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. And next is Jason Ford.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
I guess I had a question, but first I want to ask about, you mentioned the Republican proposal extending benefits and not adding to the debt. I was wondering how it would go about extending the benefits and where that money would come from.
Certainly. I don't have the detail sheet in front of me, and there are a number of areas in the federal budget which, on a bipartisan basis, we have been working over the past few years to identify programs and projects that can be reduced or eliminated, particularly focusing on waste, fraud, and abuse. And so a number of those are included in the Republican alternative as offsets in terms of reducing or, in some cases, even eliminating certain programs. But the biggest part of the offset in the Republican proposal is simply to use unexpended stimulus fund dollars. You'll remember a year or so ago when the Congress passed a $700 billion stimulus package in an effort to try to strengthen the economy. And I said at the time I didn't think we could spend ourselves into prosperity and that we should not be adding that $700 billion to the national debt. Well, Congress went ahead and in its wisdom did it, and that money has now been appropriated and authorized to be spent, but not all of it has been spent out. And so what we're saying is, look, if you've already spent this money, even though you shouldn't have, then why don't we redirect some of it to the unemployment insurance program, which most senators truly would agree is an emergency, and many economists are saying is something that would have a positive impact on stimulating the economy. So for that reason, Republicans are simply saying, let's stop wasting that stimulus money. And even though we maybe shouldn't have appropriated it in the first place, we've done that. Let's reallocate it now to the unemployment insurance program and not pile more debt onto our national debt.
Okay. My original question had to kind of along the lines of the Craig Wieden funding. Can you talk a little bit about the move to get the PILT funding dispersed as well?
Yes, the PILT funding is very similar to the Secure Rural Schools funding that was the Craig Wieden funding. Those two programs work together in tandem to address the issue of helping counties deal with the fact that the federal government owns so much property in these counties and is deteriorating or weakening their property tax base. And so the PILT program, payment in lieu of taxes, is one that also helps to assist the counties with this burden that the federal ownership places upon them. And we have seen that the PILT funding has been delayed, slowed down by the administration this year for reasons which we don't understand. However, a number of senators, including myself, contacted the administration, made them aware that these payments should not be delayed any further, and received, frankly and positively, a good response from them where they indicated that they recognize this and they have started now to make those payments.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And next is George.
Senator, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to ask you if you've taken a look at the Paycheck Fairness Act and if you've decided where you stand on that.
You know, by name, I'm not sure I recall the act. What does the act provide?
The president this morning made reference to it. It's a bill that basically ensures that men and women who do the equal work receive equal pay.
Well, I certainly agree with the principle. I'd have to see the details, though, George. I apologize, because in the name of very good ideas, sometimes unfortunately, not so good ideas are put into the text of the bills. I'm not saying that is the case here, so I guess I'm apologizing. I'm going to have to look at that and make a careful review of it before I answer your question. I certainly agree with the principle, though. I sometimes have reluctance to have the federal government step in and start managing the economy any more than we have already seen it do in this recent spate of government control extensions, like in the health care bill and in the financial regulatory bill. But having said that, let me take a look at it before I give you a specific answer.
You bet. Maybe I can ask you about a little politics. I see
sure.
That Republicans in the congressional delegation are going to be doing some fundraising for Raul Labrador, and I'm wondering why you think Mr. Labrador would be a better congressman than Congressman Minnick.
Well, I support Raul because, frankly, I believe that we need to change the leadership in the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi and the agenda that she has pursued in the House of Representatives has provided the wrong leadership, and that agenda has provided the wrong direction for our country. I personally believe that the direction that she is leading us in is one which is based on the philosophy that we can simply spend ourselves into prosperity and not take any serious look at achieving fiscal responsibility. And I believe that agenda of the current House majority must be challenged.
So is it your stance then that Congressman Minnick is closely aligned with the Speaker?
Well, in my opinion, the whole question comes down to who would the representative from Idaho vote for leader. And I've said many times that the vote for leader is as important a vote as all the other votes that are cast in a Congress, because once the leader of either the House or the Senate is selected, then the agenda for whatever else gets voted on is set. And frankly, the opposite agenda, the conservative or fiscally responsible agenda, is totally removed. There won't even be votes on the fiscally responsible measures because they won't even be allowed to go to the floor.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all very much, and I appreciate our visit this week. I look forward to next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.